There's this wonderful story in the book of Matthew, chapter 8. It says, when he had entered Capernaum talking about Jesus, a centurion came forward to him, appealing to him, begging pretty much, saying, Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly. It's an incredible moment of this Roman centurion, a man who easily was in a position where he had over 100 men that served underneath him. But he comes to Jesus Christ, begging for his servant. And he comes to Jesus Christ and he says, Lord. We heard it earlier this morning from Pastor Patrick about the importance of understanding and knowing when somebody refers to Jesus as Lord, recognizing that he's Lord of all, recognizing that he is the master, recognizing that he is fully in control of all things. There's no one else above Jesus Christ, Lord of all. And this Roman centurion comes. Here he is, a man of position, a man of status. And 2,000 years ago, the average Roman centurion would be a man most likely filled with pride and living a life that was completely self-absorbed and enjoying the pleasures of his own power and his own authority and his own control. But he knew who God was. And he comes and says, Lord, he says, I'm not. He goes, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly. And then Jesus says to him, I will come and heal him. It is the compassion of Jesus Christ for men and women, his love for people that compels him to go when there's a need. There's no partiality with Jesus, no favorites with Jesus. Whether a Roman centurion or whether a servant, he's coming to heal. And he's here to heal. He's here to set the captives free. He's here to give new life. He's here with all of his power and all of his glory and all of his authority. He's here with mercy in his hands and grace. He's here. He's here in the house of the Lord. Listening to those testimonies, I know he's here. Listening to this time of worship that we've had tonight, I know my God is here. The presence of the Lord is here. He says, I will come and heal him. Now in verse 8, the centurion replies and says, Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man under authority with soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes. And to another one, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. So when Jesus heard this, he marveled. He had a wow moment. Like, whoa. And he says, wow, truly I tell you, with no one in Israel have I found such faith. I tell you, many will come from east and west and recline at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while the sons of the kingdom will be thrown into the outer darkness. And in that place, there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And to the centurion, Jesus said, well, go. Let it be done for you as you believed. And the servant was healed at that very moment that Jesus spoke those words. My message to you is faith in Jesus. Put your complete faith in Jesus. What a testimony and what a story that we have with this Roman centurion, a man considered to be a Gentile. And for those of you that maybe are not a part of this church or maybe just visiting for the first time, the Roman centurion represents somebody who didn't know who God was, or at least was not expected to know who God was. He was not a Jew. He was not raised up reading the Old Testament scriptures and hearing about all the things that God did through the lives of Moses and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. But this Roman centurion, not knowing fully his whole story, but we do know in this particular story, hearing his words and hearing how he approached Jesus, he knew who God was. He was a humble man. He approached Jesus with humility, not in pride. Pride will cripple you. Pride will keep you from a breakthrough. Pride will keep you shackled in the chains of sin and darkness. because you think you know what you're supposed to be doing in life, or you think you have the plan figured out, or you think you have a solution. As we heard tonight from Lieutenant Charles, or from Chaplain Bob the Builder, praise God for that testimony, that your plans and my plans will not work out. And we can search from one end of the earth to the other to figure out the completion and the successes and the peace of life. It cannot be found outside of Jesus Christ. And so here's this amazing story of a Roman centurion, a man who had more than 100 men underneath him, a man of position, a man of status, a man of success, an intellectual, a man who was a career man, a man who had a place in society. But yet, when the moment came for a breakthrough, for a healing, because his servant was, scripture says, his servant was not just sick, but his servant was in pain. But there was a humility with the Roman centurion. There was an understanding of knowing that the only true source to healing is Jesus Christ. And so this humble man shows up, comes to Jesus, and he doesn't simply just ask for a healing or ask Jesus to do something. Scripture tells us that he begs for Jesus to heal his servant. This was a man who was broken, a man who was humble, a man who had compassion for other people rather than just simply his own position and status, a man who knew who God was, a man who knew God to be a healer, a man who knew God to be the only one who can transform a life completely. And so he says, look, I beg you, Jesus, could heal my servant right now. My servant's in pain. And Jesus says, I'll go and I'll heal your servant. And the Roman centurion says, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof. But if you just say the word, if you just speak, Jesus, I'm not worthy. My life is really nothing compared to you. Because if you come to a place and recognize your unworthiness, you will be able to see the worthiness of Jesus Christ. The Roman centurion represents a man who was broken, and he had come to this humble place where he recognizes the superiority and the power and the holiness of who Jesus is. You've got to come to the end of yourself. Because when you come to the end of yourself, you will see the greatness of who our God is. Don't let your pride get in the way of recognizing how beautiful and amazing Jesus is. And this Roman centurion, a man of class, a man of stature, says, don't come to my house. I'm not worthy. You've got to be able to recognize we are all sinners. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. In this moment, he's making it very clear that I'm a man who has failed and flawed. Here's a man who, in this humble moment, recognizes that even though there's people possibly standing around in this scene, it doesn't matter to me what you think about me, because I need a miracle right now. I need a miracle. But there's such an incredible moment of faith with the Roman centurion. The faith to believe that Jesus Christ is merciful. The faith to believe that Jesus Christ has power and is loving and gracious. The faith to believe that even when I confess my mess, I can still expect Jesus to show up and do something supernatural. Wow. The faith to believe that it doesn't benefit me to rattle off my title and position. Did you catch that in scripture? The Roman centurion doesn't come to Jesus and say, excuse me, sir, I am a Roman centurion. I am a man of stature and class. I have a big home. I have many stallions. chariots with gold rims. No. Here in scripture, it tells us that he just begged for a healing for someone else. It is only when Jesus says that he'll show up that he then expresses who he is, only based off simply expressing the faith that he had in who Jesus was and the authority that Jesus had. The moment that he begins to talk about how he's a man under authority like Jesus Christ is to only demonstrate the authority that Jesus Christ has. You've got to understand this so that you understand why Jesus marveled at this moment. It's the second time through scripture that Jesus has a moment where he marvels at the faith of another man. Because at this moment, the Roman centurion says, no, you're not, I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof because you're a holy God. And I get it too. If you just say the word, because I know there's weight to your word. I know you have power in your word. I know when you speak, something changes. I know that when you speak, the world can be transformed. I know that when you speak, people that are bound in sin, the chains can be broken. I know it. He says, look, I've got men underneath me, and I'm a man too under authority. If I say to somebody, go, they go. And he says that to reflect this power that Jesus has. Because when Jesus says, sickness has to go, it has to go. When Jesus says disease has to go, it has to go. When Jesus says sin has to go, it has to go. When Jesus says depression has to go, it has to go. When Jesus says bitterness has to go, it has to go. And the Roman centurion says, I've got men, when I tell them to come, they come to me. And what he's actually saying here is, Jesus, when you tell people to come to you, oh, we come to you. Because your love draws. Because if Jesus Christ is lifted up between heaven and earth, he said himself, I will draw all men unto me. That's the power of our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the power of the cross. That's the power of the cross. It's the victory that you and I have in Jesus Christ. This is why we keep having church. This is why at this 6 o'clock service, we keep seeing people come forward to receive Christ, because it's not by our words, it's by the word of Jesus Christ. It's when faith arises in men and women that says the only answer is Jesus Christ, and the cross works. You wanna know why the cross works? Oh my God, 2,000 years ago, Jesus goes to the cross. He takes my place. He took your place. He bore our sins. He wipes out our sin debt. All of it. Everything that you have done and will do. He took it to the cross. How about that, though? Everything you have done and everything you will do. He took it to the cross. And everything you've done and everything you will do, taken to the cross, in his last words, he says, it is finished. Now hold on, saints. Hold on, saints, for everybody that doesn't understand, well, what does it is finished mean? What that means is that you no longer owe God your life. It means you don't have to die, because Jesus died on the cross and he willingly chose to give up his life and pay our sin debt. So he stated that, saying, what I needed to do in obedience with you, God, I have completed it. So he says on the cross, it is finished, which means they don't owe you anything anymore. All they need to do now is put their faith in me as the Savior who did a finished work on the cross. It is finished. You and I just got to say, thank you. I believe and I receive. It sure does beat dying on the cross, amen? Oh my God. Praise the Lord. And so here in this moment, you say, go and sickness has to go. You tell them to come, and all men and women will be drawn unto the Savior, Jesus Christ. You tell, he goes, Centurion says, I can tell people to do something, and they're going to do it. You see, here's what's awesome if you give your life to Jesus Christ. Your actions will change. Your behavior will change. You'll live your life surrendered to this word that tells you what to do. And you'll do it because you put your faith in Jesus Christ. And what you do in accordance to this word is a life of freedom. It's a liberating life. What I do in accordance with God's word is victory. It's victorious. My actions represent a victorious Savior. The word is important. The word is life. The word became flesh. That's Jesus Christ. This is why the Roman centurion says, just say the word right from where you are, because you're God. You can do something in one place and something will change in another place. This is why we pray on Tuesday nights. This is why we have a worldwide prayer meeting. For those of you that don't know, on Tuesday nights, we have a worldwide prayer meeting where people are writing in their prayer requests and they're coming up on the screen from all over the world. And not only are we getting prayer requests, but we're getting praise reports. Why are we getting praise reports? Because God is doing miracles. Because even though we're here in New York City on a Tuesday night, we're standing on the word, we believe in the word, and we trust the word that God is faithful to make changes, to do miracles, to bring forth the healing. And so while we're calling on him here in New York City, he's doing a miracle in India. He's doing a miracle in Scotland. He's doing a miracle in Hawaii. He's doing a miracle all over the world, because that is just simply the power of Jesus Christ. And so Jesus listens to the Roman centurion. Really just reflect on who he is. And Jesus says, wow. I can imagine everybody just staring at Jesus. See what he's going to say. Wow. That was marvelous, Jesus says. I've never seen faith like that in all of Israel. And then Jesus expounds on this moment of faith. He goes on to say this. He goes, man, faith like this, they're going to come from all over, from the east to the west, north and the south. He was talking about Gentiles. He was talking about people that were not Jews. He was talking about people that didn't know who God was initially, but would come to know him because they're at their end and they just need Jesus Christ. He says this. It's a prophetic word. He's actually talking about you and I who believe in Jesus Christ. He said, they're going to come from all over the nations. Look around you. They're going to come from all over the world. They're going to come from all different races. And they're going to recline with me in my kingdom. They're going to sit with me. They're going to dine with me. This is going to be something that we get to do forever. It's eternal. Forever and ever and ever. I don't know if y'all hear me, but this world's going to pass away. And I'm going to recline with Jesus. Because he said that that's what I get to do. Me. Let me just talk about me for a second. Can I be selfish? Because I put myself in this context right here. I believe in faith the same way the Roman centurion believes in faith. Just say the word, God. I'm a mess. I got a lot that needs to be still dealt with in my heart. But just say the word, and I know I'm going to live a life with miracles and a blessing and breakthrough and provision. And because of you, Jesus Christ, I've got eternal life, and I'm going to hang out with you forever. Forever and ever and ever. And Jesus goes on to say, and there's some folks, they're not going to see my kingdom, even though they've thought that they're a part of my kingdom. But that's just religion without a relationship with me. Yes, folks. There is a hell. Yes. there is a place called hell. But for you and I, who believe in faith in Jesus Christ, we don't got to worry about that. I don't need to expound on that. I don't need to give you any type of picture of what it looks like. No need for scare tactics. I'd just rather talk to you about the grace of Jesus Christ that says, if you just believe in me, then you're going to recline with me forever. That's the part I like to focus on. I put myself in that place of as a believer in faith in Christ Jesus. And you have that opportunity too tonight to recline with Jesus, to believe in faith, to come into God's house and not just come into God's house for the sake of religion. It's a good religious thing that I do, coming to church. Brothers and sisters, we don't got time for religion right now. It doesn't fulfill, doesn't satisfy. You heard it from our chaplain tonight. There's a lot of religions out there. And you and I, we make a lot of attempts to seek out different religions. But the only thing that will satisfy the soul, the only one who will bring healing to the whole, is Jesus Christ and his good news. So, Jesus concludes and says, what you have believed in, your faith, what you've asked for, it's done. Before the Roman centurion could even leave, it was done. He didn't even get the chance to watch the transition from the suffering and pain, and all of a sudden just gone. When he got back to the house, the servant was already probably cooking lunch, singing a worship song. When he got back to the house, things were looking really good around the house. Clean, probably looked better than ever. Faith. Where's your faith? What have you put your faith in tonight? Is your faith completely in Jesus Christ? Because anything else, it's gonna fail you. I'm sorry, but that's the truth. I'm gonna ask the worship team to come out. I'm gonna ask everyone to stand with me. We're gonna take some time. We're just gonna pray. Just take a few minutes. Do you have a few minutes to pray? Can I get an amen? Now here's what I wanna pray about. I want to pray for people that have struggled to put their complete faith in Jesus Christ. You've put your faith in your education, your career. You've put your faith in relationships. Some of you, you've put your faith completely in yourself. I'm going to ask you to humble yourself like the Roman centurion. And put your faith in Jesus. And trust him at his word. I don't know what you're going through tonight. But allow Jesus Christ to be your savior in every area of your life. Let him be God in every area of your life. Put your faith in Jesus. Completely tonight, fully surrendered. If this word is for you, I want you to be bold like that Roman centurion. And I want to pray with you. I want you to come before the Lord, but I want you to come up here to the front of this auditorium. I don't want you to think about anything that someone has said to you about coming to church. I get a sense there's some people in here where you question church and you question the setting of church. You have your doubts. I'm not talking about putting your faith in a church. I'm talking about putting your faith in Jesus Christ. And I want you to step out of your seat and come now. Put your complete faith in Jesus. Is anybody willing to be bold like that Roman centurion and just say, oh, man, yeah. I'm gonna set aside all of my achievements and everything that I've done, and I'm just gonna boldly get before Jesus tonight. And then what's awesome is, remember what he said. He said, look, man, I'm not worthy. And I think the Roman centurion was really speaking about just the errors in his life, the mistakes that he was making and struggles he was having. I hope that you're bold like that tonight. You just keep coming from the balcony to the main floor. We're gonna pray. And the word of the Lord is gonna set you free tonight. I just wanna pray a prayer with you. And then I've asked Chaplain Bob if he could come out and just, as churches, we pray for those, which is what we normally do, that have come forward. He's gonna close us in prayer. But first I'm gonna pray this prayer, and I wanna invite you to pray this prayer with me. And I want you to pray this prayer in faith. Faith in Jesus. You put your complete faith in Jesus. You pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I come before you. I surrender my life. I put my faith in you. You are my Savior. Thank you for dying on the cross for all of my sins. Thank you for showing me mercy. Forgive me. I'm not worthy. But I receive your word that says I'm a new person in you, Christ Jesus. I turn away from all sin and I look to you to lead me, to direct me in all my ways. You are my God now. You are my Savior. Jesus, heal my heart. Every place where it hurts, every disappointment, heal me and set me completely free. In your name I pray.